Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two on this rainy Friday here in Nashville. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. Willie D is out in L.A. with the Predators. They'll take on the Kings tomorrow night, 9:30 puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 8:30. Wild card weekend begins tomorrow afternoon. It'll be the Texans hosting the Bills, and in the nightcap, we know the Titans will be in Foxborough to take on the Patriots. 7:15 kickoff our time, and there's going to be a lot of eyeballs in this market on that game, just like up in the market we're going right now. Matt Chatham, we always enjoy our conversations with him. NESN, The Athletic, and ESPN, he does it all. He covers the Patriots. Matt, how you doing?
Morning, guys. Doing well.
So what is the feel? What's the vibe? I know the Titans were there a couple of years ago in a playoff game, but things have changed since then. What is the vibe right now of this Patriots team?
Well, I think there are two different courts, I guess. You would say publicly with the fan base, I'd say there's a huge chunk of people that are just sort of massive disappointment. You kind of cruise along through the season. You sort of anticipate you're going to be a bye team. You've been, you know, resting at one for a big chunk of the season, then Baltimore passes you, but then you're safely at two, and then it all falls apart on week 17. So I think part of it is the expectations of where they thought they'd be today. They're not. But I would say with the team, the guys I've talked to, it's the one thing about this group that they've always kind of appreciated about Coach Belichick is he kind of treats them essentially the same. He's pretty rough on you, win or lose. It's that sort of, you know, constant expectations. Everything is sort of even keeled, win or lose, whatever's going on. So the fact that they had a massive disappointment, I think it's a place where there's usually not a lot of emotion, good, bad, or otherwise. So I think one of the things that's happening here, because, you know, as a player, you start to think, hey, I might have a bye next week, and you start thinking of family stuff and things you might be able to get done if you have a little nick or scrape or thing you want to rest. Now you don't get to do that. But the issue that it's also a Saturday game and Tennessee has to travel here, I think that really changed things. You know, it'd be one thing to have a massive disappointment and still have a normal work week. I mean, when they got done with a disappointment Sunday afternoon, you have to, like, put it to bed by midnight. You know, you can't even bring it till the next day and watch the film because you have to get quickly into the Titans.
It's weird to talk about struggles on offense, but it has looked real here, especially of late for the Patriots. And they knew a lot of this stuff. I realized that going into the season. And it's why they attempted Antonio Brown and they kept Gordon around. I get that. But, you know, how much concern is there? We know the defense has been solid all year, but even they've looked – a little bit different the last couple of weeks, but how much concern is there about this offense that really doesn't look like they have a down the field threat? Obviously, you can't just replace Gronk. That's impossible to do. How much concern is there that this team can score enough points in the playoffs to keep this thing going for a while?
I think if you look at sort of most past seasons where the Patriots have sort of gone to the playoffs, and even in years where it wasn't them and it was someone else, if you can score in the mid-20s and play defense that keeps someone south of the 20, that you're going to win. And I think this has been a Patriots team that offensively has been a mid-20s offense. And I know that's unusual because we're used to seeing them be a 30. You know, a year ago you're talking about the Rams and Chiefs and the Patriots sort of nipping at the heels, and they're typically a high 20s or a low 30s kind of group. And there's been sort of this massive reaction to them no longer being that. But they're still scoring at a clip that wins almost every game in an NFL game if you play even decent defense. So I think it has certainly become a much more relied upon defensive group. It's weird to see the Patriots scoring, you know, 23, 24, 26. But again, you don't really need Herculean efforts defensively to win when you're scoring 23, 24, 26. What's been a little different defensively is just last week where they finally, you know, gave up a dog. You know, they had 27 points. I gave up two final drives, a field goal drive that was most of the length of the field. and then another reset, and then they went the full 75 to get seven with 3:50 to go and a four-point lead. So those two things are massively different. That's outlier stuff for the defensive group, which is really the difference between them winning and losing and being in the position they're in. I think offensively it's mostly just about, you know, not used to them not being a dominant offensive group, but they've actually run the football really well the last month. I mean, they ran it really well last week. They ran it really well 2 weeks prior to that. And that's probably the one thing if they didn't have, you know, if you and I were having this conversation, a month and a half ago, 5-6 weeks ago, that would have been the thing that would be absent. They weren't running the football well. But now that they are, you know, it's just don't throw the pick six. You know, don't have a couple of the unseeded plays that they did have in last week's game where you sort of have, you know, have a touchdown call back. You have third down conversion where you get 16 yards called back for an operation penalty. I think they look at them as a lot of it's self-inflicted. With those gone, you're still looking at a pretty comfortable mid-20s offense that can win, provided they don't, you know, have a bad day on D.
Matt, I was up there in January of 04 when it was, I think, negative 30 with the wind chill. It was probably the coldest environment I've ever been in or experienced. In fact, they sent me up there all week to cover that matchup, and it was just frigid the entire week. It's raining here. It's nasty in Nashville. Look, it's January. It's Foxborough. So what are they expecting for this game Saturday night? I mean, is there supposed to be snow, rain, cold? No. What do they think right now?
No, I think you guys are actually going to be well prepared for this one. If you're getting that kind of weather, that's what we're getting. It's pretty modest. I think temperatures are supposed to be low 40s. So right around 40. Showers are expected throughout, so you're going to get a wet game, you know, 8 to 11 throughout the whole thing. And I think you're getting sort of day rain, too, so we're going to get, you know, the light rain throughout. So the field will be saturated. Patriots had games this year, though. Cleveland was one where it rained throughout. The Dallas game was crazy. It was 15-mile-an-hour winds and just in a, you know, just 33 and 34, just barely above freezing and sideways stuff throughout the entire four quarters. So that was a nightmare. You're not getting that. So, you know, my understanding of what the weather you guys have had throughout the week and in the last several weeks, basically a Nashville winter is kind of what we're getting here now. So you're probably getting kind of lucky. This isn't the snow and real cold stuff, especially not the stuff we've gotten in 04. And I'll tell you a really quick story on that. Vrabel is the one. Mike Vrabel is the one who really kind of led the charge for us on our pregame thing. We had a walkthrough in the stadium the night before that game against Tennessee, and it was at the time one of the coldest games in NFL history. And he came out for a walkthrough out in the stadium with just a t-shirt on and his sweats. And the rest of the linebackers were maybe out there a minute or two before him, and we all had our sweat hoods on and stuff. And he kind of guilted us into taking them off. So we went through that whole hour plus, whatever it was, walkthrough the night before that coldest game, just in t-shirts. And I was miserable Saturday. But by the time Sunday came, I felt pretty good. And I kind of was happy that, you know, we'd kind of gone through that to make Sunday not feel quite as miserable as it otherwise would have felt.
We're talking to Matt Chatham from Nesson and ESPN The Athletic as well. Covers the Patriots, former Patriots. So you bring up Mike Vrabel. You played with him, both linebackers together. You've looked at this for the last 2 years as a head coach of the Tennessee Titans. What have you seen out of him as he has his first forays into being a head coach?
I thought it was non-surprising that he quit. You know, the first couple guys he got have been two good linebackers. You know, he basically comes in-house and gets a BC guy and gets another good inside linebacker, starts to build that side of the ball. But I think also one of the things that you really notice about Mike is personality and his leadership skills. They're just off the charts. And you hear sort of a lot of the commentary, you know, that has happened with the team is they've had an up and down year, but have got themselves to really, I think, one of the most impressive 5 or 6 game stretches of offense in this league. And that I think was as shocking to me as anything. As I went back to study, I was kind of expecting Mike's, you know, defense to be salty and to be, you know, sort of his MO. And they're good with disruptions, but it's not sort of a complete lockdown group. I think that's probably still part of roster building he's got in mind, but the thing that I've been really impressed with is, you know, once they made the change to Tannehill, this offense has become really dynamic. And Mike was always really good at seeing sort of the inside part of the game and understanding tendencies and, you know, being able to get the most out of whatever was there. So it's been really kind of fun to watch the offense, the flip side of the ball, and what he's put together there. I mean, you talk about the Packers, you'll talk about the Colts or, you know, other even the Seahawks or teams that sort of have more of an offensive MO because of maybe people who know the quarterback better. But production-wise, Tennessee over the last maybe 5-6 weeks has been right there with any of them. And I think that was the eye-opener. That would be an eye-opener for any player studying this team going into this game.
What about Dean Pease and the defense that the Titans have? I mean, for the first half of the season, they were kind of carrying the water for this team before the offense could really get going. Now some injuries have mounted, and they've struggled at times, but you still have to respect Dean Pease and what he's able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was another really smart thing that Mike did when he was putting his staff together. You know, Dean was my coach and Mike's coach, and, you know, just a really solid man who understands sort of, you know, not riding the roller coaster of emotions in a season. He's a good guy to have with you in the bunker, you know, in stormy times. And I think that makes a lot of sense to get a veteran coach like Dean, and he's done a really nice job from the last couple of years. And you mentioned you're going to have injuries. You know, the season may not go exactly as you thought. I mean, that was certainly something as I flipped on the tape with these guys. You know, I knew about, well, from the preseason. You know, we went down there and watched them for the week and then covered the preseason game and everything. And, you know, I expected their defense would be really, really good and was for a big chunk of the season. But you're right that, you know, come middle part to seams, like sometimes can happen with injuries. But I still feel like they're a really tough one-off. You know, maybe if the Cume stats aren't quite the same, they still can game plan. I know Dean and Mike sitting in a room trying to come up with something can be very effective. So that always helps you respect the other side because you know how that they see things.
With the Patriots, Tom Brady, you know, watching him over the past 6 weeks or so, I just feel like something's different. The arm strength isn't there, and maybe it's father time that's starting to catch up with him. You played with him. You know him. What have you seen over the last few weeks from Tom?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it's arm strength. Arm strength has been right there. I even looking at that final drive where they went the length of the field last week and scored to put him ahead with 3:53. There's that in cut that hits it about 28 yards or whatever that Tom just put on a rope to Mohamed Sanu. It's like, wow, that was sizzles perfect. Looks like his old self. And actually in last week's game, you had several overthrows, you know, so it was more like just too juiced up. So I would say more issues of sort of a little bit of panic in the pocket has been a sort of coming and going kind of issue where, you know, he's really given up plays on plays early and maybe for self-preservation reasons, for reasons to try to avoid turnovers and things like that. But, you know, when things don't go well, it's throwing the ball away. And I think it's sort of decisions where, you know, he's not working with receivers. He's worked with a ton other than Julian. So there's going to be a lot of these incompletions where the ball's kind of going to a spot the receiver's not at. From the outside, you know, we kind of can't know. Is it the route that's wrong or is it Tom? But I think that's probably been your big story. You'll see a throw and it's a head scratcher and it's not used to the old, you know, is leading him into the route thing or hitting him before he turns or as he turns kind of deal. And I don't know if I put that on Father Time because I think there are those stretches, you know, throughout this season where he'll step up, make a throw, and it zips like it always did and it's accurate like it always has been. So I think it's more just a matter of the state of the offense than Tom personally. And I think from the physical stuff, pocket movement, how he throws the ball, that stuff's all about the same. It's just they've had to bail on a lot more plays and had a lot of drives where it's just bam, 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 and it didn't look like it normally looked. But I wouldn't put that all on Tom at all.
Last thing quickly, Matt, do you think this is the year that Josh McDaniels takes a head coaching job, or do you think he's going to stay put yet again?
That's a great question. I don't know. I hope those are the kind of things that get decided next week, and it'll be interesting to see what jobs are left. I don't know how he personally feels about Cleveland. I know he's from Ohio, so maybe he has a soft spot there, but that situation looks like a potential mess. So, and I would not want to be one of many coaches in a long line that gets fired from that place. So I guess it just depends once he's starting to go through the interview process, what's still out there. And if it's not what he wants, I mean, he's always got a safe place here until that perfect job does come up or it's here years and years from now, I guess, if that's a possibility.
Yep. Good stuff as always, Matt. Really appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys, you too. Take care. Thanks.
All right, that is Matt Chatham with Nesson, The Athletic, and ESPN. He does it all covering the Patriots up there. You just heard him tell the story of him playing with Mike Vrabel when the Titans were there back in that January 04, that very, very, very cold game that was nip and tuck all the way to the end. I think the Patriots ended up coming away with a 3-point victory in that one. We'll come back. We'll get a Titans perspective at the bottom of the hour. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.